Why don't you turn to your neighbor? Say, hey, good looking. Oh, I'm so glad to see you today. You know, the house churches, they're not gender specific. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be dating. I know Kenny and Janie are dating. That's not the dating couple house church, okay? I know that Jean-Marc and Imelda have kids. That's not the kid house church, right? Or married couples with kids. They're all open, right? And so you just pray and see how the Lord leads you and guides you in that. And I think it'd be a wonderful time. Did you guys enjoy Pastor O last weekend? Yes. Right? I mean, just amazing time. I just wanted you to know that we took a spontaneous offering for Cambodia, and we collected roughly about $20,000 that we will wire out this week to him and their ministry. And it's going to do a lot of great stuff. I think it's like 150,000 Hong Kong. That's like 20,000, right? So it's roughly around there. And so you guys did a really good job with that, you know, praise God. And so please continue to pray for them. And we're probably going to be heading out to Cambodia fairly soon and to take this a little deeper and further and see what God has in store for us there, you know, and whatnot. And so it's going to be really quite exciting. I think this year is going to be an incredible year for us. And I'm already anticipating, you know, and just seeing, you know, something start already. And it's quite fun. And I would say, you know, anytime we do have those opportunities where guys come or, come out and experience, and, you know, you'll definitely receive something from the Lord. You know, I know since Kenny and Janie were here, I remember after the, after the conference, you know, Janie was out on a business trip. So she came the last Sunday. And so Kenny walked over to Pastor O and, Pastor O, can you pray for my girlfriend? You know, she hasn't been here the whole time. And, you know, I thought, wow, what a great heart, you know. And so she received a little something, right? That's just a bonus, Ken. You know, that's for you, man, and things. And so, you know, I encourage you to come out, right? You know, the words are, you'll be blessed because you came, you know. And so don't miss out on the next one. And we're going to have a few events coming up soon as well. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 122:1. Psalm 122, if you need a Bible, one of our ushers will kindly get one for you. Just lift your hand in the air. Psalm 122, verse 1. And a lot of us have taken Growing Christ. You know this by heart, right? I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, so much, God, for your house, Lord. We thank you that we can come, Lord, and we can be ourselves, God, and we can, Lord, worship, and we can learn, and we can give and serve and receive and love and give love, Lord. And we are just so appreciative, God, of all that you provide for us, Lord. And even now, God, we ask, Lord, that you would release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today, God, individually and corporately. As a body, Lord, I pray that you be with me, God. I'm tired, God, and I'm weak, Lord. But God, when we present ourselves to you that way, God, then we are made strong in you. And so I just thank you for that. Lord, just bless this time, and in Jesus' name, all God's people said, "Amen." Amen. David here is kind of expounding on this psalm. He starts and he's talking about God's house and his church, and he says, "Man, I was so glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord." All we do is say, close your eyes right now. Everyone, close your eyes. Think about that kind of excitement that David had about going to church, about going to his house. Now, what I want you to reflect on today is, when's the last time you felt that way? When's the last time you got really excited about going to church? It wasn't, ah, man, I gotta go, you know. But it was such, man, I was so glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. With your eyes closed, I have another question for you. Do you remember the dreams and the desires that you had about church? When you said, you know what? I'm going to go to this church. I'm going to go there. And you made that commitment with a certain sense of expectation. You expected that something would happen to you or that would happen through you or something. And maybe over the years, those expectations have been beaten up, and maybe you've been beaten up, and church was not what you wanted or expected, or maybe you weren't recognized, or you didn't get a chance to serve, or, you know, it could be so many different things. Right? Do you remember the dreams and desires you had about church? Now, the last reflective question I want to ask you is, what was it that brought you here to Solomon's Porch? Or who was it that brought you here? Was it your friend? You see us in the paper or look on the internet? But ultimately, what or who brought you here? Let's open up our eyes. And, you know, obviously, you know by now, I'm gonna be teaching on the church for a little bit. I'm just going to park here for a few weeks, you know, and kind of try to express, you know, in some ways, church and community and these things. And not just so because we're getting into house church or whatnot, but, you know, just as a reflection. You know, this past week, myself and, you know, you guys know a bunch of us, we're at Saddleback Church, probably one of the most famous churches in the world. You know, Pastor Rick Warren pastors there, and, you know, they've got, he knows the number, 29,872, if I'm mistaken, people on their roll, right? That's how big their church is. And we went to a huge campus. I mean, it looked like, you know, Christian Disneyland, you know, in some ways. And, you know, we were there. I mean, everything is just state-of-the-art, and, I mean, just a beautiful place. And we got to go and listen to these speakers and whatnot. And so a lot of it was reflection and discussion on church, you know. And I'm walking through, you know, Saddleback, and I'm looking at all the stuff they got. And, you know, and a part of my heart saying, I want that too, you know. One of them, I want one of them too. And that I want one of those things too, you know, and stuff. But we sometimes we get lost in the magnitude or you know, like, you know, McChristian or, you know, kind of Christianity. You know, but what is really the essence? And this is what I've been asking myself actually for the last few months. You know, what really is the essence of church? What's the essence of community and these things? You know, and what I really had you to do is really just imagine the church of your dreams. What does it look like? You know, what is the church of your dreams? You know, and as I ask that question, I want to challenge you. And said, make it happen right here. You know what I mean? You know, make it happen one year. You know, the great thing is, you know, is that we have, you know, a pretty pliable leadership at this church. Right? I'm talking about myself, okay? And, of course, Pastor Sam, Pastor Nate, well, I'm not doing this alone, all of our leaders. You know, we're not so rigid. You know, we're not... you know, we don't file under some brand of Christianity, and this is who we are, and this is what we do, and so you can't do this, and you can't do that. You know, I think we're quite open, and our congregation, I feel, is quite open. We can, even though we're 5 years old now, we can make this church whatever we want to make it. I mean, really, this is from the top down, right? I'm telling you, we can make this church, even though, you know, we've been around for a little bit now, we can make this church whatever we want to make it. That's exciting. You know what I mean? I mean, that's fun. You know, we're not too big, you know, that we become unmoldable, and we're not too small that we become ineffective. You know, and so we're getting to the right size in some ways, you know, and the right temperament, I hope to think, you know, that we can really make Solomon's Porch whatever we want to make it. You know, and it, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to start giving you the offering. You know, I mean, that's not, you know, let's be, you know, straight about this thing. You know, but what I'm talking about is, what's your heart? What have you always wanted in a church? You know, what are these things that are so important for you, you know, that if you found it, that you would give everything that you had, you know, that you would just immerse, you know, yourself into ministry and to loving others and giving, you know, and I'm saying that I think we can do it here. I mean, really, You know, I know my friends call me an eternal optimist, you know, but I'm not just being optimistic. I think that's really the challenge that's before us. You know, I think that's where we're trying to go, you know, as a church. You know, what do you want? You know, what are the things that you value? And let's go for it. You know, and I'm, you know, I've been a Christian for 14 years now. I've been a pastor for 13 of those 14 years. You know, and so I, you know, having grown up, you know, in the church in some ways, and I'll say I went to church a long time even before I became a Christian, you know, but for all the wrong reasons. And so I know exactly where some of you guys are sitting at today, you know, and I want to tell you that the church is the hope for the world. It's, I mean, it is. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the hope for the world, you know, and we are a part of that. You know, and I've seen glimpses of how that beauty is radiated in our lives. You know, years ago, when I was going to seminary, there was a professor. He was a Korean professor. He had lived in the Philippines, very well known, and he was teaching missiology at Fuller. And he wanted to connect the first generation, which meant kind of the guys that are on the mission field, and the next generation of pastors that wanted to become missionaries. And I was in the School of World Mission, and I actually didn't want to become a pastor. I wanted to become a missionary. And so I was there, and I heard that this group was kind of meeting and happening. And what he wanted to do is he wanted to take an older missionary, you know, and connect us with one of us young guys, you know, and kind of mentor us into this whole mission process and all these things. And so we would meet about once a month in the professor's office, you know, and we just kind of talk and chat and eat lunch and have a prayer meeting, basically. And I remember particularly one day I was feeling really sad, and I went to this meeting. I didn't want to go, but I ended up going. I told some people I would go. And I went, and my parents were going through a very difficult time. You guys know my parents are missionaries in Uzbekistan, and my mom was really sick, you know. And so I had gone to, you know, we had a time of prayer after we ate lunch, and we're discussing, you know, we're strategy and all these things. But now we got to the nitty gritty, and I asked these guys, and I said, you know, is there any prayer requests? And they said, oh, you know, I asked them, I said, could you pray for my parents? You know, they're in Uzbekistan, and they're going through something. And I was just kind of explaining what's happening with my folks and these not. I didn't even really finish what I was getting at, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, because these were all first-generation Korean missionaries, you know, probably average spent about 20 years, you know, on the field. You know, and so, you know, they got together. And before I even finished, you know, they would say this simple thing. It's okay. You know, in Korean, they say, "기도합시다," right? Which in English means, let's pray, right? And so, I swear, man, the room started shaking. You know, all of a sudden, you know, it was about six of these missionaries, you know, and a couple other us Korean Americans, you know, and they grabbed their hands and, oh, you know, I mean, they were just going crazy, just praying, you know? And if you guys are no Korean prayer, right, that just means Lord, you know, but they do it with such passion, you know? And so, I was just sitting there, and I was so blown away by their prayers. You know, I mean, it was just amazing. And I literally sat there and I just started crying. You know, and I realized, you know why these guys can pray with such passion? Because they live out in the mission field. Or they lived at one time. And they know what it's like to be sick in a foreign country. You know, and they understand, you know, having to worry about their kids that are living in other countries, you know, and about their kids worrying for them as they're going through sickness. You know what I mean? It's this whole cycle. And so when they started praying out of this common experience. Guess what? That's the church, right? We all have a common experience, which is I once was lost, but now I'm found. At one point in my life, I had no purpose, and Jesus Christ gave me purpose. You know, I was wrapped in sin and just so confused and so broken, but I met Jesus and something happened. You know, there's that old hymn, right? You know, he touched me. He touched me, you know, and something happened, and now I know he touched me. Don't worry, that's as far as my singing goes, right? And made me whole. You know what I mean? And there's something about that. He touched us. That's our common ground. And because we have this common ground, we can come together as a body of believers, broken, wounded, survivors, you know, heroes, you know, sick, sinner still, but working on it, you know, and we can come together, you know, and I recognize the beauty of common experience. You know, like experience creates common ground, you know, people will say. You know, and that's what the church is, you know. And so we ought not to compare with each other or do these kind of things. And my question to us in some ways, you know, it's kind of really hot in here. Ken, can you up the, right? Can you up this thing here? Right? And this is my thing I want to present to you. Is it possible, because such a limited understanding, to not fully benefit from something? You guys understand what I'm saying? I mean, is it possible that because we have such a limited understanding about something that we may not fully benefit from all of that? You know, these guys know that, you know, I'm just not a tech person, but I got the toys. You know, ever since in Hong Kong, I've been collecting the toys for some reason. I don't know why. This is the mindset here. But I'm horrible at tech, and so I give all my stuff to Kenny and Tom and these guys, and they take care of all my stuff. I'm sure that I could be maximizing what I have, you know, but I'm barely doing the bare minimum. You know, with computer, it's email, and it's, you know, writing sermons. That's basically what I use my computer for. You know, and I'm sure there's a lot more things that I can do with that. You know, and I'll give you a good illustration. You know, one day I was, I had a bunch of guys over at my house for watching, I think it was the NBA Finals. You know, and I had a cable TV or one of those, I think it was cable back then, you know, before now broadband came out. And we're watching TV and we're watching the NBA game. And then Stevie was over, you know, and we're watching and we're listening to it in Cantonese. Right? You know, and so these guys are, you know, going off and, you know, all I know, every once in a while they say, Foxy, jump and shoot, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, I don't know anything they're saying because I can't speak Cantonese, I'm sorry. You know, and so, but I just catch the English words here and there. And Kenny just sitting, or I'm sorry, Stevie's sitting there and saying, Pastor Sam, why are you listening to this game in Cantonese? I was like, I don't know. That's the only thing that's there. And he said, give me the remote. And he grabbed the remote and he pressed this little button on the remote. And all of a sudden, English came out. And I could hear the commentators finally. It was the most amazing thing. You know, and literally, for years, I watched television. This is the honest truth in Hong Kong in Cantonese. You know, and didn't know that I could just push this button. You know, because it didn't say, like, voice. It just said one and two. You know, I don't know what one and two is, right? I'm from the States. You know, and so Stevie, he's my hero to this day, right? Press this little button, all of a sudden English came out. You know, and so here I am for years watching these programs in Cantonese, you know, that I just had such a limited understanding of this cable box and the remote control that didn't I fully benefit from all that this great English, you know, little thing can do, you know, during that time. You know, and you know, really a lot of ways, most people do not fully benefit because of limited understanding. You know, can I propose to you that church is kind of like that too? Because we understand so little about what the church is really all about, that we're not really benefiting from it. You know, we're not getting out all that God had destined for us to live in and to walk in that way. And quite honestly, I'll tell you, it's not really everyone's fault. You know, it's not like I'm saying, all right, it's your fault. You know, your fault. You know, you've been going to church for 20 years and this is, you know, I'm not saying any of those kind of things, because in a lot of ways, the church has really shot itself in the foot. You know, in fact, a true story, in Tennessee, I was reading this in a journal years ago as I was studying, this church in Tennessee, a Baptist church, had a big conflict. And so, you know, everything is okay, but they had this whole idea. They started doing foot washing as part of their church ceremony every once in a while. And some people in the church felt like you need to wash, if you want to wash people's feet, you need to start with the right foot. And other people in the church said, no, that's not the way you do it. If you want to wash people's feet, you need to start with the left foot. You know, and there arose such a discussion, such an argument, that these guys left the Baptist church, went across the street, started another Baptist church, and named it Left Foot Baptist Church. True, I know, it's funny, but it's so sad. True story, right? And so right across the street, because they, God said that we wash people's feet with left foot first. And so they started Left Foot Baptist Church. Wow. Right? No wonder we're so confused about church. Right? No, because we become so petty. You know, denominationalism. You know what I mean? I have people all the time, Pastor Sam, who are we? What is Solomon's Porch? I mean, are we Baptist? Are we Presbyterian? Are we Methodist? Are we Pentecostals? Are we Charismatics? Are we Third Waivers? Are we Apostolic? What are we? And I just say, dude, we're just church. We're just Christian church. And the pastor said, you don't know. My friends don't like that answer. They want to know. And then we do the phrase all, right? We're non-denominational, right? And still some guys, no, Pastor Sam, that doesn't work for me. And stuff. And so I actually do tell our guys privately what our church is about, right? If you want to know, come ask me. But we're just a church, man. We're a church that believes in the Bible. We're a church that, tries to do what the Bible says to do. Not that we're the greatest. I think we've got a lot to learn and grow. But that's just who we are. And denominationalism is really brought such a sour taste in people's mouths regarding church. And this group won't work with this group, and these guys won't work with those guys, and this thing, it's like so stupid. You know what I mean? I'm sure Jesus is just dying up in heaven watching us do these things, and hypocrisy and exclusivity and gossip and all these things, and we have literally shot ourselves in the foot. In regard to living this life, so much so that there is a movement right now, very prevalent in the United States, that a lot of very mature Christians just stop coming to church, and they're getting that in a different form, and I'm thinking, oh man, so sad, maybe someone got burnt or something, and I speak this with great sensitivity. Because there have probably some of you in this room here, that were harmed in some way by the church. Some leader said something stupid or did something stupid, or you got backstabbed, or you just wanted to serve the Lord and someone thought that you were some holy roller or something. Who's that person? So spiritual, You know what I mean? And stuff. And I say this, and it's not as, I'm being very honest, if you've ever been hurt by a pastor or by a church leader, or someone that was in a place of authority, I'm not talking about teachers or policemen, that's a whole other thing, right? But in the church, if you've ever been hurt by a leader of any type, would you accept my apology? Would you open your heart and out of my heart, I'm so sorry that you had to go through something like that. For me as a pastor, it just kills me to know that one of my brethren, for whatever reason, I don't know, but just said something or did something to you that made you feel just, kind of like crap, and unwanted and unloved. And would you accept my apology? And I know that there's probably plenty of you here in this room. And trust me, you guys share your stories with me, and I ask you, where you come from, and sure enough, if you came from another church, it's probably because of a negative circumstance that happened. Could you forgive? Are you willing to just open up your heart today and say, Pastor Sam, I'll choose to forgive these people or these things, and it's not a light thing. I'm not making it a light thing. It's probably a lot of deep issues and things that are going on, and if you want some counseling, we can chat and have some coffee together or do something. But really, I'm so sorry that you had to go through something like that. And I'm so sorry that you got wounded in church. The hope for the world. And something happened to you. Maybe I did it, and stuff. I'm not perfect. I say stupid things all the time and things. And so, man, would you forgive me, and just, you can tell me what I did, but just tell me privately, okay? Just don't do the public thing. That's just kind of embarrassing, right? And things, and it's brought the a movement, really, in a lot of places. You know, I remember years ago, I met a guy named Tom Pelton, and Tom Pelton was, I don't know if he is right now, but he used to be the international director of March for Jesus. And what they basically do is, you know, go to cities and they just have a march. You know, they plan a day and they march to the city. It's just an incredible ministry. And we're having a dinner one night together, and Pelton kind of shared the story. And he doesn't like to call himself Christian anymore. You know, and so if people ask him, you know, who are you? He just simply says, I'm a follower of Jesus. You know, because the word Christian has become so negative in culture, especially in Texas where he's from. And so Pelton, he was just sharing over dinner, and he shared this story. I thought it was just fantastic. And he's saying that, you know, that I have foregone, you know, calling myself Christian and these things. I'm just saying I'm a follower of Jesus. And so one of the things that he does, that he's been inviting his community, because they won't go to church because of all these negative stereotypes and all these things that are happening, but they'll come to his house for a football game and barbecue. And so he started this outreach program basically called Bring Your Own Beef Barbecue. Right, and I've shared this story once before, you know, a long time ago. I love this story so much. And he says, and what he does is that he invites his neighbors over for barbecue. And he just says, bring your own meat, you know. So, you know, Texas, right, and big barbecue. So these guys come out and they, you know, just hang out and have fun and chat and whatnot. And so what he does is after, you know, they eat and stuff, he brings them into the living room, you know. And he says, when he first started doing this, then all the guys that came, all of a sudden they're like, okay, something's going on, right? This can't be it, right? And they're thinking, you know, he's got to sell me Amway products or Mary Kay, or, you know, he's going to do something here, right? Here's the pitch now, right? Here's why I'm really here and things. And he just comes and he just has his chat. And he basically says, you know, you guys know me. I'm Tom. You guys know that I'm a follower of Jesus, you know, and whatnot. And he basically goes in the story and says, you know, I've been going to church for so long and blah, blah, blah. And I found that as I've been studying the Bible once again, you know, that Jesus was a friend of sinners. And he looked to these crowd, you know, about like 10 guys, and he said, you know, Jesus was a friend of sinners. And I realized that I don't have any friends that are sinners. And he said, you guys are sinners. You guys want to be my friends? True story. And these guys are like, yeah, man, I'll be your friend. Yeah, you know, come on, let's hang out, you know, kind of thing. And he would just have a cooler of beer there, you know, and he doesn't drink and stuff. And you know, and the guys would come up to him and says, you know, Tom, there's something different about you. I know you don't drink, but you made me feel comfortable, you know. And basically the guy was saying that you made me belong before I believed, you know. Guess what? All those guys got saved. And now, as a very popular outreach, a lot of guys do bring your own beef barbecues. They invite their neighbors to come, no strings attached, and they just share their lives together. That's church. Or that's what the church should be. You know, and we've really, in a lot of ways, done a great injustice. Because either one, we're not living up to it, or two, that's not even a goal. We don't even think in these contexts. You know, or three, we're so wounded by the church that we're unwilling to give ourselves to it. You know, or four, we're just totally ignorant of what it all means. You know, the church of Jesus Christ is so misunderstood. You know, and as a result, you know, most people are not benefiting from one of God's greatest blessings. Think about this. Of all the blessings that we experience in this life, they're ultimately undeserved, right? They're what we call of grace, right? And so we ask ourselves, right, are there any special means that God uses to give additional grace to us? Now, they may sound a little absurd at first, you know, because, you know, Bible, right, Paul and Jesus having this dialogue, and he says, my grace is sufficient for you, right? And so we understand, yes, your grace is sufficient, Lord, but are there any means of grace or any things that we can do or be a part of that can actually bring greater grace to us? You know, and in James chapter 4, you know, you don't have to turn there, but that's what he says. He says he gives us a greater grace. You know, the word specifically says God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, and literally he says there's a greater grace. And so, obviously, grace comes undeserved, but is there something that we can do that actually brings us more grace? And I said, yes, there are. There are actually a lot of things that we can do. You know, in the fellowship of the church, you know, are there certain means or activities or ceremonies or functions that God uses to give more grace to us? Are there certain means through which the Holy Spirit works to convey blessings into the life of the believer? There's actually 11, but I'm just going to go through a few of those today. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Man, it feels good to preach again. I haven't preached in weeks. I feel like, you know, Jeremiah said, my bones will dry up if I don't preach. Acts 2:42. This is the first church. And this is what it said about the first church. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Right? The early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking bread, right, to prayer, and to fellowship. So, just a few notes. Number one, the church is the place of belonging. It's the place where you can belong. See, God doesn't add people to church sporadically, right? In other words, God doesn't say, okay, you go to church A, you go to church B, you go to church C, and you go to church D. You know, it's not like he's got some ticker out somewhere and he says, well, sure, why don't you go here and, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you go over there and you go over here. God doesn't work that way. You know, and if you think of this context, right? Remember, right? Psalm 139. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. 139, 13 to 16 talks about how God created us. It talks about how God did such an incredible work in our lives. You know, remember, he formed you. He knows your gifts. He knows your abilities. He knows your life experiences. And he puts you in a place, right, with other journeyers so that you can grow and to be stretched. Doesn't that make sense? You know, he picked you. He chose you from the foundations of the world. And he didn't just pluck you out of this world so, you know, that you can be by yourself. He plucked you out of this world so that you can belong somewhere. Right? That you can be a part of a community. You know, that he may do something in you, right, to you and through you. That's what God did. You know, and so it wasn't just by chance that God set you here or set you another place or whatnot. You know, it was all, you know, out of God's design. You know, one of my personal pet peeves, you know, is people, you know, that choose churches because it's close to their house, you know, or because the sermons are good or because the carpet's nice or the chair's comfortable. You know what I mean? Because it gets away from the whole essence, you know, of what it means to be a part of the church. You know what I mean? Because you didn't choose it. God chose it for you. You know, like, you know, I was at this conference this whole week at Saddleback, and you might hear some of the members share a little bit. But, you know, if I'm just be perfectly honest, right? I mean, I'm always honest, but, you know, I struggled throughout the conference. You know, because a lot of the talking that was going on is basically like, how do I get someone that doesn't want to come to church, come to church? You know, and it's almost like, how can I twist someone's arm, you know, or how can I, you know, do something, blah, 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 you know, X, Y, Z, you know, to bring someone who really doesn't want to come. And I'm not talking about the unbeliever or anything like that, but, you know, someone that knows and is a Christian or whatnot, and how do I get them to participate more in all these things? And, you know, and a lot of the discussion was in that way. And I felt like, man, we're really missing the boat, and we're catering to this self-centered belief. You know what I mean? And I mean, no offense, but a lot of times American Christianity is, and I'm not being trying to be judgmental or anything, but sometimes it's just so shallow. You know what I mean? I mean, churches are big and it's huge and stuff, but what kind of disciples are we making? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I only come when it's convenient for me. You know, I only do this, you know, when it fits in my schedule and stuff. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's not really why Jesus Christ died. You know, and that's not really what's going to build his church. That's not what's really going to make an impact in this world. You know, I was at a meeting about a month ago, you know, and these guys were sharing about a church plant that they had planted in Japan. You know, and I've been to Japan, you know, I've got friends there, and I know some missionaries there, and they're like, it's so difficult in Japan. People die. That's like the missionary graveyard in Japan. You know, and these guys were going to plant this church in Tokyo, you know, and as a part of the church plant, you know, they're formulating stuff, and one of the guys said this. He says, you know what, it can be done. You know, and even for me, I'm thinking, man, that's going to be one tough mission assignment for whatever sucker has to go out there. You know, and next thing you know, the guy says, you know what? There was a church, the Church of Christ, started a church 2 years ago in Shinjuku, in downtown. And in 2 years, they have 700 members. Oh, I literally fell out of my chair. You know, you guys, I don't know if you know, the Church of Christ is a cult. You know, they believe that you can only be saved if you go to their church, if you're baptized, and if you're discipled in their church. And so even though you may be baptized, because you're not baptized in their church, you can't go to heaven, right? You know, crazy stuff. 700 people. And this is like, this church is like in your face. It draws out of this very strict discipleship mode. And so if I was a Church of Christ pastor, I know what's going on with your life and your life and your life because you all report to somebody. It's the way they do discipleship, you know. And so there's layers of people, of leadership, and they know what you're doing, and they know what you're doing, and it just goes down, and they all report to the top. And so as a leader, I know everything. I mean, that's a pretty serious commitment church. 700 Japanese people in 2 years in that church. Amazing, you know. But you know, it's where we're, sometimes the church gets a little shallow. And that's just my pet peeve. I don't want to bore you with those kind of things. You know, but the church really is a place of belonging. It's a place where you can belong. And you could be the most gifted spiritual person and be the neophyte, the brand new, or the seeker or whatnot, and you still belong, right? Because we all come under God's care, right? We're all come under God's love. You know, and the cross makes everything equal, every single one of us, right? It's a place of belonging, right? It's a place that we should feel home, you know. It's a place that we can be ourselves in a lot of ways, you know. It just kills me, you know, when I see people finding such difficulty in sharing who they are. And I used to do a Bible study for, you know, the Korean churches upstairs. And I used to do a Bible study for the Korean ministry. And it was every Tuesday night. And about four men would come out. You know, they finished work. And we meet somewhere. And I just share the Bible with them, open it up. And I had no plan, but we just go through it. We had a wonderful time. And after every session, I would always ask this question. Is there any prayer requests? Is there anything that I could pray for you about? You know, and every week, these guys don't say anything, you know. And then after a few weeks, you know, I said, is there any prayer requests? They don't say anything. So I just pray a simple prayer. And then afterwards, you know, as we're about to leave, one of the guys grabs my hand and says, oh, pastor, come off here. Hey, can you pray for my son? He's going to take an exam soon. Can you just pray for him? You know, and I'm just like, sure. You know, the next week, you know, hey, you know, pastor, come over here. You know, can you pray for my work? I'm just pretty stressed these days. Long hours. Can you pray for my work? I'm like, sure, you know. And then every once in a while, every week, these guys are pulling me aside. You know, I'm like, why don't you just share? It's not like you're saying, you know, like, you know, pastor, I'm having an adulterous relationship. Can you please, you know what I mean? It's just like, can you help me at my work? Can you help my kid to study? You know, it's not like some huge revelation of their downfall as a, you know what I mean? It's just simple stuff, but they're in this conditioned not to share their lives with one another, probably out of some kind of woundedness or whatnot, you know. But it's important, you know. You know, the place where you belong, you know how that happens? You know, and it's, there's no easy answer to this or no easy quick fix. You know, like Janie was talking, you know, today a little bit before. You know, she would come to church and, you know, she'd hang out, and now God put her in circumstances where she had to open up. And out of that, you know, she immersed herself. And if I could give an illustration, it's like the church opened their arms to Janie, and then Janie opened her arms to the church. right? Would that be a good apt way of saying it, right? I know I got away with words. I know that's okay, right? You know, and so, you know, and we, you know, and that's kind of what it's like. But in order for you to have true community or to really belong, it's give and take. You know what I mean? It's give and take. Obviously, it's contingent upon the church to open our arms, but at the same time, it's contingent upon you to open your arms and to share a little bit, right? You know, it's important to get involved. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. You guys there? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Right? In the fellowship of believers, ordinary friendship and affection will grow, and Jesus' injunction that we love one another, John 15, 12, will be fulfilled. As we care for one another, you know, they will bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is Galatians chapter 6, 2, right? Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Let me expand on this a little bit more. Matthew chapter 16, 18 and 19. These are the great passage on the church. In Matthew 16, 18 and 19, it says this, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Right? And it says, right, he says, because Peter answered well, it says, Peter, right, you are Petros, right? You're just a little stone, but I will build my church on Petra, the rock, right, which is Christ. Now, the word Christian, or I say in Matthew 16, this is basically the call of the church. You know, I would present this to you. There is no such thing as an isolated Christian, right? We are all, every single one of us, you know, interrelated to one another. The word there, the word church, is the Greek word ekklesia. You may have heard this before. Ekklesia is a governmental word. Ekklesia literally can translate it parliament. Right? Ekklesia, you know, ek meaning out, right? And ekklesia is together, right? And so what he's saying is that we are called out together. You know, and so the church, you know, you being a part of the church is a people that are called out together. Not individually, but together. It's a called out assembly. You know, it's ekklesia, right? It's parliament. You know, this is where decision makers come out, not spectators. Right, this is where God called Israel out of Egypt to congregate in the wilderness. Right, they were the church in the wilderness. You know, today God calls the saved out of the world to congregate and worship the church in the world, but not of it. Right, we are ecclesia. We are called out together. Right, we're doing this whole thing together. You know, the Christian faith is lived out personally with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but the Christian life is lived out through the church. Let me say that again. The Christian faith is lived out personally with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but the Christian life is lived out through the church. Martin Luther, great reformer, he said this. He says, you cannot have God as your father without having the church as your mother. Right? You cannot have God as your father without having the church as your mother. The fellowship of believers with one another as a means of grace is crucial. Remember I talked about, we're talking about things that we can draw greater grace, right? It also eases the focus of the clergy, right? Leaders like us as the primary dispensers of grace within the church. It's people helping one another. You know, one of the things that is part of our DNA, you know, I don't want to be the guy that's praying for everyone all the time. I would love doing that. You know, I mean, I did that most of the years in ministry. You know, a very typical fashion, I would always ask people to come up to the front, you know, and I'd spend hours upon hours laying hands on people and ministering to them. You know, and I mean, that's good stuff and all. You know, and we do that at times, you know, but I begin to recognize that I was doing a great injustice to my church. Because what kind of that breeds a kind of superstar or not even superstar, but kind of like one guy does it or only these people can do it. And I decided years ago that I was going to change the format of ministry, and that I'm not, as much as I'm going to pray for people, my people are going to pray for their people. You know, and so if you've been to church long enough, you know that if you raise your hand and you want prayer, most likely I'm not going to come to you. You know, it's not like I don't like you. I love you, you know, but I'm not going to come to you, and someone probably sitting right around you is going to come to you, right? Because there are no superstars in this church. You know what I mean? There are no anointed, you know, that guy's the anointed one, you know? We're all anointed, right? The Bible talks about the priesthood of all believers. You know, and so that's kind of part of our DNA. And of course, I mean, there's times where there'll be impartation and whatnot. You know, but I'm telling you that you can minister one to another so much more effectively than I can, or the other, you know, ordained pastors or whatnot can. I mean, really, I really believe this, right? Because we're all the called out body of believers, every single one of us. You know, and I mean, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have been ministered, you know, at this church or some other church, not by some leader, right, but people that were sitting right next to you, right? Again, don't raise your hand. Actually, why don't we do that? Why don't you raise your hand? You know, I mean, let this be a testimony. I mean, how many of you guys, you know, were ministered to at some point, again, not by a leader or someone, but just by a regular church guy, church girl, sitting right next to you? Anyone in this boat? See, look at this man. You know what I mean? And stuff, and it's not the level of anointing. No, it's not like that at all. Because we are a body. We care for one another. Right? That's what we're supposed to be about. You know, a measure of God's grace is experienced when Christians talk together, eat together, when they have time of work and play together, enjoy one another's fellowship. You know, what we just call good, clean fun. You know, something happens. Right? It's a place to belong. And again, it's a give and take. You know, can I make a suggestion to you? I mean, really, can I make a real suggestion to you? You know, if you really want to experience all that God has for you, right, in church, in this body that I've been talking about, can you open up a little bit? I mean, that's really, you know, can you open up a little bit? Can you share a little bit? You know, can you not hide? You know, can you just be yourself and be real? You know, I mean, really, we don't really care what you do. I mean, I'm just being honestly, right? I don't care if you make $1 billion or $10. We really don't care. You know, we don't care what your title is. You know, we don't. But we care for you. You know, and we believe that God brought you here for a purpose. And we're looking forward to finding out how that purpose plays out. You know, would you be willing to open yourselves up a little bit? Would you be willing to share your lives a little bit more than you are right now? You know, and I mean, really, just saying, are you willing just to be real? You know, guys, come on. We're all broken people. You know what I mean? I mean, I may look like I got my act together. Man, I messed up, man. You know? I'm serious. You know, I got some major issues. Not so bad that I'm not allowed to preach, right? So it's not that bad. You know, but, you know, like we're raising two kids right now. And, you know, my wife and I, we're trying to relate to one another. We struggle, man. I'm just being honest. We struggle. You know, and the kids are taking our priority and whatnot. And, you know, we're young parents, so we're just learning all these things, but I'm not perfect. You know, I mean, you'll never see me giving a parenting seminar, not for the next 15 years, man, right? But in that same matter, you'll never hear me giving a marriage seminar either. You know, I'm just being honest. You're not going to hear from me. And so I'll bring someone in to teach on those kind of things and stuff. And we're all broken, you know, but, you know, the value of church is that we can be broken and we can be messed up and typically, right, we can come to a place and just totally be ourselves, you know, and not that just because you share, boom, zap, bam, boom, everything's going to be okay. No, because we walk together through this thing, you know, but as we come broken, you know, that we can feel embrace and we can have someone pray for us and cry with us and know what it's like to go through. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's, you know what? That's what we want to be. And we're not there yet. I know that, you know. We're still a little bit cold. You know what I mean? You know, I'll be honest. We started out so small as a church, you know, and then we got a bunch of people together and we grew so tight, you know, that forgive us. We just became too tight, you know, and it was so hard. That's what I hear from people all the time. It's so hard to break in and break through and stuff. And so all you guys that have been here for a while, I want you guys to open up too, you know, and don't just be us four no more kind of mentality, right? You know what I mean? That's what we call the huddle church, right? We're just going to huddle together, you know, get out, you know. You didn't go through discipleship with me, you know, and stuff. That's not, you know. So for you guys that are old timers, you know, make a circle, but turn around, you know, and stuff in that same way. And I mean, really, can we really be a place where we can belong? See, that's a challenge for me as a pastor. And that's a challenge for us as a community, as a church. But the only way that's going to happen is if we work at it. You know what I mean? It's not like Pastor Sam's going to preach this magical sermon, and it's going to reside in our hearts, and it's going to run deep. And then tomorrow, we're going to be whole people, and we're going to open up our lives with one another, and all these things are going to, and, you know, and angels are going to come, hallelujah, you know? It's just like, I mean, I would love to say it works that way, but come on, right? Growth, all those things is a process. But can we start today? Can we start today? Can we start opening our lives to one another? You know, and this is my warning to you, if you're one of those types of people, right, that you got so many issues that whatever information comes, you're gonna use it, right? Cut it out, man. Right, if you're one of those guys that you just gotta gossip, go somewhere else, right? You know, there's plenty of chairs at ECC, right? You know, I'm not saying anything about ECC. Don't you guys misunderstand me? I'm just saying there's another church out there that I know, right? You know what I mean? Like, as we open ourselves up to one another, if you're gonna start using that information in a negative way, that really sucks, man. Right, that really sucks. You know, so I implore you, don't do that. But can we be a genuine community? Open our hearts to one another, right? And be a place where people can just belong. You know what I mean? We don't all have to have the same and right, you know, theology. In fact, no one has right theology. Come on, let's be honest. You know, I've read the Bible a few times, right? The only people that have right theology are the demons. You know, read the book of James. That's exactly what James says. And things, and so we don't have to all think alike and agree on everything. That's not what unity is. We so misunderstand that unity is not horizontal. It's not like we all think alike, we dress alike, you know, we act alike, you know, same background. No, unity is vertical. In other words, we are united with God and His purposes, and therefore we are united as one. It's called the unity of the Spirit. You know, and so you know, I really want to challenge. In fact, you know what? I have four more points in my message. I'm just going to stop here. Some of you guys say hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. I'm going to just stop here because I want the Holy Spirit to sink this deep inside of us today, right? Now, I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not meaning, okay, now everyone open up your heart. Well, when I was 12 years old, I went through, you know, that's not really my intention, right? But in some small way today, can we as one body take one step closer to being the church that you've always wanted? You know, by simply opening ourselves up to one another? You know? Can we do a little exercise together? Well, now it's like, you're going to make me do it right now, Pastor Sam, right? Can I just meditate on this for another week and then come back, you know, when I've got the Spirit? And, you know, no, can we? Why not? You got nothing to lose. You know what I mean? And don't feel pushed to share. I mean, just, you know, whatever you want, you know, this is cool. And we're going to do this for a long time, right? I mean, not today, but for the life of our church and things. Can I ask you, right, because I'm going to stop here. I'm going to shut up in a second. Can I ask you to go find someone that you don't know, right? you know, to, in other words, can I ask you to risk a little bit? Because you know what? There's some wonderful people in this church. I mean, really, trust me. The last 3 weeks, you know, I was on my home leave and on my holiday. Actually, I wasn't on holiday. I was recruiting, you know, and I'll tell you more about it a little bit later on. You know, I was busy recruiting, you know, and but I was bragging about you guys all the time. I was telling my friends and people, I said, man, we got some awesome people at our church. I was bragging on you guys because I really believe that. And we got some great people here because I know you and I know you're great. And there's some of you I don't know yet, but I can tell you're great already, right? Because you're here, right? And so, you know, and can we just hang out a little bit, you know, 5 minutes today and just talk with each other and then just share a few prayer requests? And just because they're generic doesn't mean they're not meaningful. You know what I mean? And then saying, can we, you know, this is the thing. Can we risk a little bit today to get the church that we've always wanted? To become the place of belonging? You know, can we start taking those steps? And I know it's going to be scary. And trust me, I would never want you to do something that you don't want to do, right? I'm not your dad. You know what I mean? I'm not the policeman. Or, you know, that's not who I am. And so if you're totally uncomfortable, dude, that's totally cool too. I mean, really, right? It's not like, what's wrong with that person? You know, because we don't, because that's not community either. You know, and so if you're not ready for something like this, you know, this small step, that's okay too. And so if you're scared to death, you know, just whoever, you know, you're here with, you can just pray with them too, right? Trust me, it's totally okay. You know, if this is so uncomfortable for you, you know, and you could even leave if you want, right? That's okay and stuff. Maybe we should close our eyes and let people leave or something. And so you don't feel bad or, you know, I don't know, you know, this is new to us too and things and stuff. So, but, you know, if this is, you know, I mean, can we take a little risk? You know, because you may find out that person that you pray for is an amazing person. And you may find a friend, you know. Well, I'm not going to say the next thing because it'll be bad. Okay? But I know you guys, you know what I was thinking. And so, can we just... can we just hang out with each other for a little bit? Can we do that? Is that cool? Is that okay? Can we take a little risk with each other? And we can do guy-guy and girl-girl, you know, just make it safe and stuff. And right? I mean, yeah, let's put some parameters on there, right? And stuff. So, but if there is a mix of something, then I'm available here, right? I you know, and Pastor Jimmy's here and Pastor Nate. Well, Pastor Nate's still single. You go guy, okay? You know, but Pastor Jimmy's married and stuff. And so, you know, we can, if there's any kind of, you know, overflow of one woman extra or something, like, can we do that? Right? I mean, I cut my sermon short for this, man, so it better be meaningful. Right? And so, and again, if you're uncomfortable, please do not, right? But let's just move around. Let's find someone, right? Say, I don't know you. Hey, let's get together. Is that cool? That person could be sitting right next to you, right? Who knows? Let's just do guy, girl, girl. If you don't have anyone, just raise your hand and I'll...